Hi, friends. This is Daniel. Dan, whatever. Naz isn't here this week. You're welcome. It's a real gift to the world. No, she's off doing some self-care. So Sam Baker is with me. Oh, actually, I should go. This is the Gender Knot. And then the music goes underneath. We've got a fun show. A lot to talk about. One thing that I'm excited to talk about is, and it comes up in later in the show, and it's when does like you know, courting a gal turn into stalking a gal? And that's a very fine line.
Is it?
Well, yeah.
I feel like you want to demonstrate
you want to demonstrate interest. Do you know what I mean? You want to show care. You want to make somebody see. You want to show like, hey, I like being around you, you know. And then suddenly you're going through their mail.
All right. Well, maybe we'll unpack some of your your dating customs there. But yeah, before we get to the show, maybe we should get a little bit of housekeeping out of the way.
I love housekeeping. It's literally my favorite thing on earth.
All right. So, first up, we have a newsletter.
That's pretty great. Oh, so good.
And yeah, we've sent a few of those so far. If you want to sign up, you just head to our website and you can fill out the form there or email us at thegenderknot@gmail.com.
Yeah, in that newsletter, you're going to get all kinds of stuff from the show, as well as stuff from other podcasts, stuff about people who have been on the show, stuff you've sent us, just anything and everything related to what we're doing here. And you know, while you're also on the website or emailing us, tell us what you think. Give us some feedback. And give us show ideas, and just generally engage with us. We'd love to hear it.
Yeah, if you have questions you want us to tackle, we can always take a look at those.
Yeah, totally. And then you know, obviously like us, subscribe us, and tell friends.
Yeah, definitely. Telling friends, I think, is the best way to get it out there.
Yeah, you tell two friends, and then they tell two friends, and then they tell two friends, and then
and
nothing
then everyone
can go
listens.
Wrong. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then we fixed the problem.
All right. Well, let's fix some problems.
Cool. Yeah, what do we got today?
So I talked a couple weeks ago to Laura Mucha, who wrote this book, which is called Love Factually if you're in the UK, but it is called Love Understood if you're in the US.
Oh, that's stupid, because we all get the reference.
Yeah, well, sounds like it was for other reasons.
Okay, maybe.
Like legal reasons, but
sure. Yeah, that makes sense.
But yeah, so it's all about dating and I guess long-term relationships as well. I was a little skeptical of it at first because it kind of sounded almost self-helpy, but it's actually really good. It's kind of packed with facts and has a much more not journalistic spin to it, but kind of anthropological almost. So she interviewed like so many people over the years about their relationships and various aspects of love, and then kind of compiled those and filled it out with the data to support their experiences. So it was pretty interesting variety of topics that she covers.
Far out.
Yeah. So maybe we should give a listen to that and then come back and chat about it a little bit.
Yeah, here it is.
I really wanted to include abuse in the book because it happens a hell of a lot and it's not always talked about. And I thought, you know what, if the reader is my best friend and that's how I approach this, then I want to give them all the information they need to make the best decisions possible. And that involves knowing that it's out there, what the warning signs are, and how to get out or how to help your friends or family if they find themselves in abusive relationships. And it was interesting to note that it does happen to men. It doesn't happen as much, but it does happen to men. And often that is slightly ignored. And there are lots of reasons why. I think in certain countries, it is far, far more prevalent for women to be abused. But there is some research, for example, in a South African study, 29% of women and 21% of men, so only an 8% difference, had been abused in their last relationship. So that's quite high, right? Because most research looks at, have you ever been abused? Not in your last relationship. So that's an 8% difference. And in some UK research, 40% of women and 35% of men had been abused in a same-sex relationship. What I found interesting about that particular study was that a lot of the people who were abused didn't realise they were being abused. So when they were initially asked by a questionnaire, they said no, they hadn't been abused. But then when they went on to be interviewed, they described forms of maltreatment that were clearly abuse. So I think, I mean, the gender difference in abuse comes out more in terms of homicide. So in England and Wales, 1.6 women a week are killed by a partner or an ex, and 0.4 are killed, of men are killed by a partner or an ex. So that's wow. Two people a week. But obviously that's more women than men. And if you look at the amount of women who are killed, more than half, so the majority are killed by a partner or an ex, whereas it's only 22% for men. So,
oh, okay, so this is just a total homicide, it's not necessarily...
Yeah, no, so by a... all homicides. Okay. So women, yep, are more likely to be murdered or manslaughtered by a partner and ex than anyone else, which I find astounding. When it comes to really severe or dramatic abuse or death, then I think that's where you see the gender difference particularly clearly. But it is there, and I read a lot of quite angry research from researchers arguing, you know, why is male abuse overlooked? And I interviewed a guy called Donnie, who was a policeman in Glasgow, who said, and he volunteered it, I didn't ask, because this was really early on before I really knew anything. And he just said, you know what, I did a lot of domestic abuse cases, men too. And you'd see this guy in the pub and you'd think, God, I wouldn't want to have him in a fight. And his partner is this, you know, tiny little thing who weighs 7 stone, and she's scratching her fingernails down his face or hitting him around the face with an iron. And so, you know, that kind of research and story is pretty, I found it very surprising.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's lots of arguments about why it happens and why it happens more to women. And, you know, many argue that it happens more because of gender stereotyping. And there was this amazing initiative called Safe Dates, which was conducted around the world, and it was carried out in schools where they had 9 workshops of an hour, and they put on a play, and they had posters around the school, and the kids had to choose their favorite poster, and this was all abuse themed, right? And after this, they found, depending on the jurisdiction, there was a drop of between 56% and 92% in how likely the people were who took part to be involved in an abusive relationship within 4 years. That's 56% to 92%. That's massive. And when they did a statistical analysis to try and figure out what was going on there, what was responsible for that change, being aware of community support was one of them, but also so was being aware of gender stereotyping.
Hmm. But with the abuse thing, it's interesting too, because I think that also does affect perhaps how women sometimes approach relationships or love, or there's always that awareness that that's a possibility, I think, for a lot of women, that their approach to coming into a relationship or to being involved with a man. Did you come across any stories like that, or just being aware of potential dangers?
No. Unfortunately, a lot of the people and a lot of the cases that I read, and it was really depressing writing that chapter, because I was reading really in-depth accounts of, it was horrendous.
Mm-hmm.
It was really horrendous. Stalking, for example, is often seen as endearing at the outset. Mm. And a lot of people, when they were, and I say people, I mean mainly women, because in stalking it is the vast majority, it applies to women. So research finds about 10 or 11%, depending on the study. Some found it a tiny bit higher, whereas it's only 2% of men in the context of a relationship. So when they looked back,
have been stalked.
Those, yeah, okay. Yeah, by an ex or a partner.
Mm-hmm.
the women reflected on their relationships and realized afterwards that actually they were stalked during the relationship and most were stalked before, but it looked a bit like being courted or someone being very endearing or attentive. So things like, you know, I worked in a coffee shop and he just kept coming by to see me, and I thought that was so cute. You know, he obviously really liked me. Or I was unwell, so he said he would come over to mine, and he came over every day while I was unwell. You know, that could, you know, it's easily confused, right? And things like, oh, I'm just worried about your safety. Why don't I drive you there? Or, you know, that kind of, there's a lot of alternative explanations. And the people that I interviewed who got involved in abusive relationships around the world and of all different ages said they were so charming to begin with that we have no idea. And what they did was they kind of sucked us in, charm, 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 and then bit by bit they revealed. But it wasn't even a revelation. It was a kind of almost a slow chipping away that they barely noticed until it reached the lowest of the low, you know? So one lady who was in her 50s only sort of realized when her partner beat her up so badly that she was left passed out in the gutter and all her neighbors just kind of left her there on a Sunday afternoon. And one lady I interviewed in Spain said, you know what? Sometimes you don't know how bad it's got until you reach, until you've lost everything, basically. That was very interesting to hear because I think sometimes people who aren't, and this is what I've been told as well by people who have been abused, that people who haven't been abused can see it very clearly sometimes, not all the time, and think it's very simple. You know, he's abusive, you should leave. Or she's abusive, she's abusive, you should leave. But they've all said, no, no, it's no way as simple as that. And actually when people were kind of binary like that, it pushed them away and made them even more isolated. And the isolation thing is something that they did slowly but surely. And in a way that most people didn't pick up until much later on. So, you know, saying, oh no, you know, so-and-so said this about you. Does, you know, if they said that to you, I thought that was a bit off, or, you know, oh, your mum said this to me or whatever, you know, slowly, or I think we should move out to the countryside or, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah, those like manipulations.
Yeah. And lies.
Yeah.
So that was Laura Mucha, the author of Love Factually in the UK, or Love Understood if you're in the US. And so I found that part of our discussion really interesting, mainly because it reminded me of this quote by Margaret Atwood, who is the author of The Handmaid's Tale and a bunch of like feminist fiction. And she says,
oh, a bunch men of propaganda. Are afraid that...
So she has this quote that men are afraid that women will laugh at them. Women are afraid that men will kill them. Talking about violence. And I think, I don't know, it's interesting because I do think that kind of like abuse and violence is something that most women always have in the back of their minds as like a potential of something to kind of be aware of and watch out for. But it's interesting, I don't know, just how prevalent it was. Some of those numbers really blew me away.
Yeah, man. It was, they're remarkably high numbers. And what I found more, I don't know, I don't know if I found it more interesting than the like actual statistics of like people who are abused, people who are like murdered, was like how many people like interviewed didn't recognize that they were being abused, like recognize it as abuse, but then like answered questions and explained it in a way where it's 100% defined as abuse. Like that was remarkable to me.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because I think she was also combining some different types of abuse there.
Sure.
Not just physical, but
No, I mean, and I'm not
obviously
I'm,
emotional.
Yeah, I'm not just saying that all abuse is physical. I just think it's I mean, there's like any kind of abuse in a relationship is unacceptable.
Of course, yeah.
I just think it's wild that people don't recognize, you know, what like psychological manipulation can be when it's happening to them. It's I mean, and that's how good abusers are.
Yeah, and that, you know, it's something that doesn't happen all at once, obviously. It's kind of something that builds throughout a relationship.
Right, like I was saying earlier, when you're out courting a gal and suddenly, you know, you're checking her phone bill.
Is this a common occurrence for you, Dan?
Well, I just want to make sure she's not calling any exes. No, but like, you know, I don't think it's that fine of a line. I think it's a pretty broad and spacious line, but I do, you know, when I first heard her say that, and I feel like a lot of men will relate, like, you know, the part about like, oh, let's say you meet a gal and she works at a coffee shop and you start hanging out there every day. Obviously every day seems like an extreme circumstance, but like, I remember being like 20 and dating a gal who like worked at a restaurant, and I would hang out at that restaurant or whatever. And and that's, you know, to me, that's like, I'm trying to demonstrate that I like you, and like, maybe I'll change how I walk to where I'm going sometimes so that I can see you because I like seeing you. And I want you to feel special. And I think that as a man, when I hear things like, oh, that seems like stalkery, it's like, okay, well, what the fuck can I do? Do you know what I mean? Because I don't want to be lumped in as a stalker. But at the same time, you know, like, I don't want to miss out on the opportunity for like a really great woman in my life by not showing her that I care about her. And so where's the middle ground?
Yeah, and I mean, I think she was saying that that's the case where it maybe didn't come off as stalkery, though.
Right, exactly.
Woman.
Yeah, but now we're becoming more and more aware of what like certain behaviors are, and I think more and more people are starting to be protective. And so as a man, when I first hear it, obviously when I break it down and have conversations around it and like X, Y, and Z it, I don't really have a lot of nervousness about my actions, but there's a switch that clicks in a man's brain when it's like, and you hear it all the time. Well, what can I say now? What can I do? Right. And I think that's a real fear. And it's hard to deal with. That's just like a gut reaction to those things.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting to me. That comment that I have heard a lot, even just like a lot of more well-known people and interviews and stuff. But that, well, what can we talk about now, or what, how do we act now? And to me, it just seems like pretty obvious of respecting another person, or like, I don't know. Like,
right. I think it all goes to I think men have this irrational fear of, I don't know what it is. It's what is it? I'm trying to think of it because I have it. I think it's just this weird irrational fear of being like cast out of the tribe. Do you know what I mean? I think it goes all the way back. It goes all the way back to nomadic tribes, where you had to like be a team player and be liked. You had to be liked. Like, socialization started in nomadic tribes because if you weren't liked, you were ostracized, and if you were ostracized, you starved. And so now, like, here we are in 2019, which is, you know, a fake made up number by people who follow a religion, and you know, that's neither here nor there. I think that feeling sticks. That feeling of just like, man, if I don't fit in, I'm not going to do anything. And then somebody calls out some behavior that is like, in some cases, not in all cases, sometimes not even in most cases, but in some cases, abusive, manipulative, hurtful, offensive, whatever. And and we take the other, you know, 70% of instances where it's kind of fine and we're not doing it to the extreme that it's being called out for. But we go, oh, no, everything I do is wrong. I'm going to be kicked out of the tribe.
It's almost back to that, like, quote I was referencing of, like, men being afraid to be laughed at or, like, as you were saying, ostracized or kind of.
Oh, man. Yeah. I don't like being. Well, I'm a comedian, so I like being laughed at when I want you to laugh. But, like, that, it's like a weird where it's like it, only when I want to and never. And the reason I do it is because then if people laugh at me for literally anything else, I can pretend it's because I'm funny.
Yeah.
And I didn't make a mistake. I'm being funny. You know how not just men do
yeah,
that, but
yeah.
everybody
this is on purpose.
That was a joke. It was a joke. I'm not an idiot.
Yeah. But it's interesting that there's kind of that, I don't know, parallel situation where, like, maybe as a man you're worried about being called out, but from the flip side, if you're a woman in that situation, you're, like, actually worried about your safety. Like, to me, one seems much more important than the other, but I don't know, maybe that's my biased perspective.
No, but I mean, so my point was, like, that, like I think there's, like, something in our DNA which points to being called out as being our safety. Do you know what I mean? Like, it goes back to that period in evolution where if we were not part of the tribe, we starved to death. Right now, man, we're getting to a point where there's actual, like, repercussions for bad behavior as a fella. And that's great. Like, there absolutely need to be. And I think guys are worried that, like, if I am in trouble for something like this, I lose my job. I lose my job. I lose my means of supporting myself. And,
yeah,
you know,
I just feel like it's very rare that happens, that you get called out for something that you didn't actually do. You know what I mean? Like,
right. No, totally. And like I said, it's a completely irrational fear.
Kind of... yeah.
I'm not saying it is in any way a rational fear. I'm just rationalizing the fear.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to put context around what I see it as. I don't think it's correct behavior. I'm not trying to justify it. But I'm just trying to I'm just trying to appreciate it for what it is and rather than immediately condemning it, because I think it needs to be talked about, and I think men need to realize what they're doing. I certainly need to realize it when I'm doing it, at least, because, you know, there is this weird feeling, this, like, tingle in my diaphragm when I hear things like, you know, sometimes, you know, what starts out as just like a genuine interest in somebody turns into stalking. And I'm like, wait, have I ever done that? Am I going to be in trouble?
But if you haven't done that, I don't know. It just seems like you'd have a quick reflection then be like, nope, I haven't. I'm good.
No. Right. Exactly. And that's what I did. But only because I was alone in a room and I didn't have the opportunity to be defensive. because I think there's this quick reaction, and if I was probably in a conversation with somebody and that had come up, I'd have been like, nope, never did it, shut up, go away. And then I'd reflect, and I don't know where that comes from. I don't know where it comes from, and I don't know if it's just men. I think it's probably primarily men, at least in these instances. And I think, you know, watching any television channel in the entire world will prove that. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I can't say it's made me kind of question that. And I don't know that too many other women kind of need to dig back through their mental history to check, but I don't know.
Oh, I've been stalked multiple times. Thank you very
really?
Much. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, it happens
How
the
did...
other way. I think people just don't
of course,
recognize
of course.
It nearly as much when it goes the other way.
Well, and I think, you know, she obviously pointed this out with some of those statistics, although she focused more on the abuse that men also suffer. But yeah, how did those end, if you don't mind my asking?
You know, it's probably not something that I really want to talk too much about. I mean, I'll say that it happened, and I'll say that it's over with, but it's not something that I mean, what if they're still active? You know what I mean? What if they're listening to this right now? I don't want to do that. I don't want to stoke those flames. It seems like here's Fair. The thing. If they're not done, then they are still stalking me. And if they are still stalking me, man, they are listening to this show. And they probably think that this is some sort of weird way of me going like, hey, let's chat.
Yeah. Yep. Fair.
But no, actually, one of them I'm friends with now.
Okay.
We're cool. We're totally cool.
I was gonna say it's interesting because when she was talking about those statistics, like, I guess I wasn't surprised that more women get stalked, but I do think like women as stalkers is more of a trope of like, and I hate this word, but like crazy women versus saying like sometimes with men it just comes off as like being thoughtful and like courting, and I don't know, I wonder if maybe women as well aren't quite as aware of that or don't pick up on it as quickly as maybe a man would, or you know, in the reverse situation.
I think it goes to gender roles, you know what I mean, where like women are often seen as, you know, quote unquote clingy, and men are seen as aloof and distant. And so when a man shows interest, even if it's an extreme level of interest, but like he's showing up all the time and he checks in on me and he wants to give me rides and he wants to meet my friends. And then it starts to go one step further, which is like, he's always waiting for me. But it crosses that issue of like that stereotype of like, he's so distant and he doesn't pay attention to me and he's always just doing stuff with his friends. Which is like, and so it goes opposite of the common gender role, the gender stereotype, the negative association. Whereas, you know, when women do it, it feeds into that stereotype. It feeds into that gender role.
Right.
And I always think of the ex-girlfriend in Wayne's World when we think of it as like a trope. I don't know why.
Oh my God, it's been so long since I've seen that movie.
Where she's riding the bike and she's like, hi, Wayne, and she runs into a car. Classic. I mean, the one thing I did want to touch on last was, you know, when she talked about how people view it from like one step away, like how people like one party removed will say like, you should just leave. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And to me, as a recovering alcoholic, to me, that's like hearing like, you should just stop drinking, or you should just stop doing meth. Like it's not something that like the brain of the person involved even recognizes as an option. Like the brain of a person who is actively being abused is so manipulated by the abuser that like leaving just doesn't register as an available choice.
Yeah. And, or a very difficult one.
Right. If it's a choice, it's like a choice of self-sacrifice. Do you know what I mean? Because and oftentimes like there's so much manipulation going on that like to leave you would be to hurt you, and I don't want to hurt you. You know what I mean? Which is a wild thought, right? Like to worry about not hurting the person who is hurting you.
Yeah. Or being fearful for your own safety as well, of course.
Sure.
That's
only when you recognize, that's only when you get to the place where you actually recognize what's happening. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To think like, oh, it's actually about my safety, because so much of it is about what am I doing wrong to not make this person happy that they're treating me like this.
Yeah.
So much of it is living in that place where, like, so many people genuinely, like, believe that the abuse is happening because they did something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I fucked up, and that's why he or she is hitting me or yelling at me or calling me this name or, you know, telling my friends something shitty about me. You know, like, I messed up, and that's why this is happening, and I need to do better next time. And then they get to that place of like, well, if I leave them, like, what they're going to, like, he told me if I leave him, he's going to kill himself.
Yeah.
That shit's wild, man.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, yeah. what a fun note to end on, hey?
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, like, it's interesting because I guess I have been a little bit more in that position of the one step away. Not where I've had friends in physically abusive relationships, but definitely emotionally abusive ones. And you're mm-hmm. just like, that person's terrible for you. Like, and they obviously don't actually care about you because they wouldn't treat you this way if they did. And, but yeah, it's impossible and to kind of convince them are usually very difficult.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's not a lot that you can say to somebody to get them to recognize something that they don't recognize. You know what I mean? It's like telling somebody you need to stop smoking meth. Unless they get to a point where they're like, man, this meth is killing me. They're just not there yet. There's literally all the meth in the world. And then there's one click of like, oh shit, this is killing me. But there's no in between. There's no like, ooh, I should, you know, I feel like I should cut back on meth. Nobody's ever said that. Nobody once in the history of the world has said, you know, maybe weekends only on the meth is a good idea.
Yeah. Well, I feel like we need to leave some like show notes for contacts or sources or something to.
Oh yeah,
reach out
we should
to.
Do that. We'll definitely do that. Let's put some phone numbers and websites in the show notes for, you know, if you or anyone you know is in a relationship that seems potentially dangerous, either physically, mentally, emotionally. You can definitely reach out and get some questions answered and possibly get some help as well. That's a great idea.
Yeah, for sure. So,
well,
yeah.
Cool. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. This is The Gender Knot. My name is Dan.
And I'm Sam. And Naz will be back next week.
Yeah, and our other co-producer is Jonathan Blackwell. That's it for now. Thanks for listening.